إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th session, and near the end of our reading from the final two chapters of the classical book of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyyah. Tonight we want to discuss some of the behavior characteristics that a Muslim should make every effort to avoid. Yani the people of Sunnah are known for certain characteristics that are praiseworthy, and they are also known that they do not exhibit or display other characteristics that are blameworthy. And tonight we're going to talk about some of those blameworthy characteristics that the people of Sunnah prohibit themselves and others from displaying. Before that, we're going to look quickly at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 12. The first question being, Ahli Sunnah command with Husnul Jiwar. What is meant by this expression, Husnul Jiwar? And who are the Jiran? What is meant by Husnul Jiwar? Now, Fadhil Abdul Haq.
The jiran are those who live near one's house.
Taib, naam. And those who are near to you in terms of your residence. Naam. Musa.
Husnul jiwar means being good to your neighbors.
Being good to your neighbors. Anything else? Naam.
The closer they are to you, the more rights they have.
Those who are closer, yani, in terms of your family relationship, and those who are closer in terms of your house, living next to you, proximity, they have more right to your yani kindness and goodness and honoring them and so on. Anything else? Sheikh Saleh Fawzan also, he gave a definition of yani what is Husnul Jiwar. If anybody remembers, he said that it is Al-Ihsan ila man yaskunu bi jiwarik bi badli al-ma'ruf wal-kaf an al-adha. Nobody remembers? Babe, it's not in the book, right? That was added, extra. Okay, now.
Being good to them and preventing harm from
them. Naam. Yani, that Husnul Jiwar, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he said, it is that a person treats their neighbor good. Yani, those who live near you, treats them good by these two things. By extending to them, yani, kindness and goodness and holding back, refraining from harming them. Tayyib. Question number two. Memorize the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ commands a believer to honor his neighbor. A hadith of Abu Shuray radiallahu anhu. Naam, on this side. Naam, Ibrahim. Naam. Meaning?
Whoever believes in Allah
in the last day, yani if a person believes in Allah in the last day, then the Prophet ordered us, fal yukrim jarahu, then you must, yani, honor, be kind and generous to your neighbor. Command. Naam. So this is incumbent upon the people who believe in Allah in the last day that they give attention, yani, to this affair of being kind and generous, yani, and refraining from harming one's neighbor. Question number three, discuss the situation in which a neighbor will have three rights. What is the situation in which a neighbor will have three rights? Naam, Salahuddin.
Neighbor, your relative, and brother in Islam.
Neighbor,
relative in a brother's family. Yani if a person is a Muslim, then they have the right of Islam. And if they are your relative, they have the right of qaraba. And if they are a neighbor, then they have the right of being neighbor, jiwar, naam. So this is the situation in which a person has three rights. Discuss the two situations in which a neighbor will only have two rights. Two different situations in which a neighbor will only have not three rights, but two rights. And when will he have only one right? Okay, the first one, two rights. Two situations, Abdul Haq.
He will have two rights if he is a relative, he will have the right of kinship, and the right of the neighbor.
Naam, if he is a relative, he's not a Muslim, but he's a relative, he has the right of kinship and the right of being a neighbor. Second situation, when the neighbor has two rights. Naam, Abdullah.
If he's a Muslim and if he's a neighbor, he has the right of Islam and he has the right of the neighbor.
A Muslim neighbor has the right of Islam and the right of being a neighbor. And the last part of the question, when does the neighbor only have one right?
Just a neighbor.
Naam, Abdul Haq, when he's just a neighbor. Yani, he's not a Muslim and he's not a relative. So he only has the right of being a neighbor. And this is important, the last one, right? Because he's not a Muslim and he's not a relative, but still, guess what? He still has a right. Or she has a right. Question number 5. Mention the Sharia definition of yatim and how it differs from what is generally understood in Western society. What is the Sharia definition of yatim? At-Talib. Naam, the orphan is the one who has lost his father before puberty. And how does that differ from what the Western people usually say? Naam.
Yeah, the Western people consider orphan, someone, for example, who lost also his mother, is considered to be orphan.
Okay, even if he just lost his mother?
Yeah, considered.
But generally they say, more likely they say, the one who lost both parents to death. Yani, both of their parents have died. A child whose both parents have died. But as they said also, sometimes, less commonly though, even if they lost one of their parents, even their mother, naam.
And also they don't make the difference if the person has reached the age of puberty.
They don't make any distinction between puberty or not puberty. Huh? But they say he lost both parents. And we say that it's the loss of the father in the Sharia of Islam, naam.
And also he hasn't reached the age of puberty.
And he hasn't reached the age of puberty.
Like there's someone who lost the one who taken care of him, and he's not able to take care of himself.
Naam. Person, he lost the one who's taken care of him. So, I mean, they're in a position where they're not able to take care of himself. They're still a child. Yani, but the point is here in the Sharia, it stipulated that they didn't reach puberty, and they lost their father, specifically. Question number 6. Mention the hadith. And this is important because, yani, we're living in a Western society. Sometimes we take on the definitions and the concepts and the ways of the people of the society. And we forget about the fact that Islam, we have our own laws and guidelines, concepts and principles. Question number 6. Memorize the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu showing the reward of the guardian who is just in handling the affairs of an orphan. Naam. Hadith reported in Al-Bukhari. Musa.
في الجنة في الجنة هكذا وأشار إلى وأشار بالسبابة والوسطى وفرج بينهما
شيئا. نعم. So he said the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in which he said, I and the one who is the guardian of the orphan will be in Jannah hakadha. And he pointed with his forefinger and middle finger. وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنَهُمَا شَيْئًا. Yani he separated them a little bit. شَيْئًا. Yani a little bit. Showing what?
That
they will not be in the same status as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But they will be yani close to him in Jannah. Naam. That's tremendous. Tremendous. And we mentioned yani anyway, time. Naam. Question number 7. Discuss the reason for the yatim often being afforded inaya, special care, and rifq, gentleness. Yani, what is the reason why the yatim is given this special care and gentleness? What is the reason? Naam, طيب, فضل Waleed.
This orphan no longer has his father, so he or she is in need of support and kindness because the father is no longer there.
Because of the absence of the father, loss of the father, they are in need of care and guidance and yani gentleness. And also the Shaykh said, the heart. And in قَسَرَ قَلْبُهُ يعني his heart is broken by the loss of his father. So his condition is such that he's in need. يعني of يعني إناية. يعني that somebody cares, shows concern. يعني looks after the affairs of that child. Like the father would have done if he were present. If he's a real father. And if he's a Muslim who fears Allah. Because fathers today maybe, they're just men who were responsible for you coming here and that's it. وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ نَعْمُ. So this child is in need of this special care, consideration, attention, yani gentleness, mercy, compassion, and so on. What is meant here by the expression al-masakin? And what does doing ihsan to them entail? What is meant by the expression masakin? And what do we mean by ihsan ilayhim? Doing ihsan to them. Abdul Haq.
Al-Masakin, the person who is or the people who are needy to such an extent that their movement or their life becomes is restricted.
Now, their life is restricted due to their need and their poverty. Yani Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, is the person whose condition, yani their movement, their activity is restricted. They are limited in what they can do. Due to what? Their need, the severity of their need and their poverty. And Sheikh Al-Faymin said,
yeah, we'd like to add that we hear the Sheikh mention that the masakin gather both the needy and also the poor.
Naam, Sheikh Al-Faymin said that here, the meaning here of masakin, the fuqara, it includes the miskeen and the faqir, both of them, even though yani these two expressions yani have been discussed by the scholars, yani what's the difference between them, which one is more needy and so on. Here, the meaning here of masakin, it means both the miskeen and the faqir, the person who is needy and the person who is in poverty, who is poor. Naam. Okay, that's the first part of the question. What does ihsan ilayhim, what does it entail? Naam, I'm going to go to Muhammad. Naam, Muhammad over here.
Charity and gentle, like
giving them charity and being gentle with them. Yani, that's one of the explanations, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Sheikh Al-Faymin said?
Giving them what is needed in their situation.
Giving them what is in, what they are in need of according to their situation. So for example,
If they are hungry, if they need food, you would feed them.
If they are hungry, if they are in need of food, you feed them.
And if they don't have clothes,
they don't have clothing, you clothe them.
And then they need to give them recognition
uh-huh.
and to honor them.
If they need to be recognized, to be acknowledged, yani they may have low self-esteem because of their condition. So that, if that's what they need, then you recognize them, you acknowledge them, you honor them. You make them feel better about themselves, according to their need. Question number 9.
And also, you give an example that if they're coming in the gathering, their condition may make them feel shy.
So now,
welcoming them.
Welcome them into the gathering, bring them up front, give them a seat, to remove their shyness or their yani feeling.
Also that Allah is the one who has made the condition like that by hikmah.
Mm-hmm.
So and has commanded to be.
This is an important point. Yeah, it's not part of the question, but anyway, alhamdulillah. That is Allah, by His divine decree, He made them to be in that condition. That's what Allah decreed, based upon His wisdom. Not by accident, accidental. No, Allah intentionally, purposefully, with an objective, with a goal, based upon hikmah, He put them in that condition. And therefore, He has commanded us then to make up for that by being kind and gentle and charitable to the people in this condition. Jazakallahu khair. Question number 9. What is meant here by the expression Ibn al-Sabil? What is meant by the expression Ibn al-Sabil? And what kind of special treatment is that person entitled to and why? What is meant by Ibn al-Sabil now?
Traveler who has no means.
The traveler who has no means. Uh-huh.
Even if he has means.
Yani here, as opposed to zakat, for the Ibn al-Sabil is the one who has no means. But here, in this meaning, in this context, Ibn al-Sabil means the traveler. Whether he has means or no means, doesn't matter. Yani he has expended his wealth, he has lost it, it's been stolen, whatever, or he has with him. Either way, still this is what is intended here. Naam. And so second part of the question, what kind of special treatment is this person entitled to? Naam. Naam. Salahuddin.
So traveler, he's lonely since he's a traveler basically. So you interact with him, you honor him that way by interacting with him.
Okay, interacting with him, honoring him, naam, being kind to him. Naam. That's part of the end part of the question, but anyway, naam. Yeah, naam.
So if he comes to you as a guest, you have to...
If he comes to you as a guest, and he's seeking to be hosted, and he, then you must host him generously, kindly, yani well, honor him, and if you're able to.
Yeah.
If the person is not able, then at least, yani, naam.
You also mentioned that there's a difference between that some scholars say that you only you should do it if they are in villages and not in cities.
Naam.
And they mean that Imam Allah said that regardless of that, if you can, you should.
Naam. Some scholars said that the requirement of hosting the Ibn al-Sabil is only if the people in the villages, because they're stranded out in the village. But if you're in the city, people can make their way and find some place, so it's not obligatory. According to some scholars, Sheikh Uthaymeen said no. Whether they're in the village or they're in the city, it's obligatory to host them if you are able to. And the reason why they're entitled to this, which Salahuddin alluded to earlier, somebody want to complete what he said? Now.
Because of their loneliness.
Because they're strangers. A traveler is going to be a stranger. Generally speaking, a traveler is going to be a stranger. They're away from their home, they're a stranger, and therefore they feel lonely. They are lonesome, and for this reason, we should take them in and show them some kindness and yani friendliness and interact with them. Now, question number 10, discuss briefly the expression Ar-Rifq Bil-Mamluk. What is the meaning of this expression? What are the two types, and what are the rights of each of them? Naam. What is meant by this expression? Al-Rifq bil-Mamluk. Naam.
Those who are owned.
Okay, the Mamluk are those who are owned. Naam. And Rifq, does that mean?
Means gentleness.
Yani being gentle with them, not being rough, harsh, rude, cruel. Yani being gentle with them. Naam. And the two types of those who are owned are? Naam. Yani the human and the animal. The human slave and the animal that's owned. Naam. And what are the rights of each of them? The human. Yani who is owned. Yani slave. Naam. Waleed.
You should feed them when you are eating.
Feed them when you eat. Feed them when you eat. From what you eat. Naam.
Clothe
them when you clothe yourself.
And you shouldn't charge them with a task that they will not be able to
do. And don't charge them with a task that they're not able to do. And in the hadith it came, and if you do so, then help them. Then help them in doing it. Now, what are the rights of the animal that's owned? Now.
Don't overburden them by carrying what they can't bear.
Don't overburden them if they are carrying animals with what that which they can't carry. Now, what they can't bear. Uh-huh.
That you bring them their food, and that if they're unable to bear the weather, like if they're unable to bear the cold, you put them where it's warm, and if they're unable to bear the heat, then you put them where it's cool.
Naam, if they're unable to bear heat, put them in a cool place, like in the summertime when it's very hot. And in the wintertime when it's very cold, put them in a place that's heated, that's warm. And if they are unable to get their own sustenance by grazing, then provide them with food and drink. Naam, this is a summary of what we talked about last week. And quickly, yani, time. Allahu musta'an. Time. We're probably going to take a few minutes after the adhan, yani, just so that we can complete this very important topic tonight. The Shaykh of Islam Taymiyyah says, yani, in reference to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, وَيَنْهَوْنَا عَنِ الْفَخْرِ وَالْخُيَلَاءِ وَالْبَغْيِ وَالْإِسْتِطَالَةِ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ بِحَقٍ أَوْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Yani, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah prohibit themselves and others from al-fakhr, yani, being proud or, yani, conceited, yani boasting, and al-khuyala, yani from vanity or arrogance, and baghi, transgression, going beyond the limits against the people. Well, istifalati, yani looking, yani raising yourself up, yani considering yourself to be better than others, looking down on others, yani showing, yani disdain for other people. Whether you have a right to do so or you have no right to do so. Yani, putting yourself above the other people, looking down on people, considering yourself better than other people, with a right or without a right, whether you do so rightfully or unrightfully, it's prohibited to do it. To express, to show, to display, yani in any kind of way, to other people that I'm better than you. This is prohibited. It's not from the character of a Muslim, especially the people of Sunnah. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a, he says, yani in defining these terms, he says, al-fakhru bil-qawli wal-khuyala'u bil-fi'li. That al-fakhru, yani being proud and boasting, is in something that's done by speech. And he's distinguishing here between al-fakhru wal-khuyala. Al-khuyala, he said, it is yani by action, yani that a person shows arrogance, shows haughtiness, do their act through their action. Al-fakhru by speech, wal-khuyala by actions. This is how the Shaykh differentiated between them. And yani, there may be some other ways it can be explained. That's how he explained it. Then he said, al-baghyu, this expression, it means al-udwan, yani going beyond the limits, transgressing against others. Al-istitalatu, he said, it is tarafu' wal-isti'ala'u, yani tarafu', yani al-istitalatu, it means tarafu', raising yourself up, yani considering yourself to be high above others. Wal-isti'ala'u, yani almost the same meaning, yani that a person, what? They are, yani, conceited. They are looking at themselves as being better than everyone else. They look down on others. They show, yani, disdain for other people. This is how he defined each of these terms, and then he explained each one. He said, فَيَنْحَوْنَا عَلَى الْفَقْرُ The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they prohibit al-faqru, أَيَتَّفَاخَرْ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ بِقَوْلِهِ That a person shows, yani, they display pride. And they boast that of themselves over others by their speech. They boast about themselves being better than others by their speech. For example, one might say, "Ana al-alim," yani I am the scholar. I am a scholar. That's what they'll say to people, and they're boasting about themselves. Yani imagine a person talking about themselves. I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm the other, and I've done this, and I've excelled, and I've surpassed. Some people listen to that, and they don't even recognize what it is. And you can go on the internet and hear people talking about themselves like this. Naam. The Shaykh said, it is what? Yani al-fakhru, the person says, ana al-alim, ana al-ghani, I'm rich, ana al-shuja'a, I'm brave. And he didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first people thrown in the hellfire is the one who said what? That I'm knowledgeable, I'm charitable, I'm brave. The Shaykh didn't come with these examples out of the air. Come from the Sunnah. That this is dangerous, that a person boasts about their self. That they're proud of their knowledge. They're proud of their bravery. They're proud of their wealth. Pride. This is unacceptable for the yani Muslims. Al-Fakhru. Yani that a person boast about what they possess or what they own. And na'am. Anyway, the Shaykh says, وَإِنْ زَادَ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ أَنْ يَسْتَطِيلَ عَلَى الْآخَرِينَ وَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أَنْتُمْ عِنْدِي If a person goes beyond that, just boasting about their self, they go beyond that. And they say to other people, what are you? In reference to me, where I am and who I am. What are you? Like, you are nothing in comparison to me. That's worse than just boasting about yourself. Now they're also what? Looking down on the people. Like saying, you are nothing in comparison to me. فَيَكُونُ هَذَا فِي بَغْيٌ وَإِسْتِطَالَةٌ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ This, going this far, means that this is also بَغْيٌ, transgression. Transgressing the limits against the people. وَإِسْتِطَالَةٌ And Yani, considering yourself to be looking down on others, to showing disdain and disrespect to other people. The Shaykh says, and these yani expressions, what is important is to understand yani this kind of characteristic. What does it really entail? And this is something that a person has to look at their own self. Don't worry about I know somebody like that. Don't worry about who you know like that. Worry about yourself. We have to look at ourselves and be careful that that's not in me. Because maybe that's not your predominant characteristic, but sometimes we show those characteristics also. And a person has to be aware of this. Naam, this is dangerous. وخيلاء تكون بالأفعال. He said خيلاء يعني haughtiness and arrogance يعني الكبر والعجب. That a person is proud and يعني amazed with their self. يعني conceited, vain. This, the Shaykh says, يعني Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, رحمه الله, this is by actions. يعني this is a characteristic that's displayed in a person's actions. That a person in their walking, and in their face, and in their raising up their head and their neck, you see the display of arrogance in the way they walk. And the way, when you look in their face, you see the look that they have in their face. Huh? Of arrogance in their actions. It is as though they're reaching up to the sky. Yani, they raise themselves up like they're high, and everybody else is down on earth, below them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has reprimanded, scolded the people who are like this, who have this kind of action, in His saying in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 37th Ayat, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk in the earth like this, yani, arrogantly, haughtily. إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ. You will not be able to penetrate the earth. وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. And you will never reach the height of the mountains. And you're just walking on the earth, just an animal walking on the earth, instead of on 4 and 2. And in another place, Allah has said something similar to this in Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, yani 18th Ayat, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't turn your face away from the people arrogantly. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. And don't walk in the earth haughtily, yani arrogantly, proudly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Indeed, Allah does not love the people who display these characteristics of arrogance and pride, boasting and pride. Naam. Allah doesn't love these characteristics. Therefore, the people of Sunnah strive to avoid them, warning themselves first and then others from displaying such characteristics. Don't turn your face away from the people, like, I don't want to look at you. And don't walk in the earth, yani, like you are proud, that you are great, you are better than other people. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Shaykh says, ينهون عن هذا. They prohibit this. ويقولون, and they say, كن متواضعا في القول وفي الفعل. But be humble in your speech and in your action. Huh? Be humble in your speech and in your action. This is something we have to just look at ourselves and be careful that in our speech and our action that we are humble. This is the way of the people of Sunnah. This is the way of Islam. This is the way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حَتَّى فِي الْقَوْلِ. Even in your speech, don't praise yourself with your praiseworthy characteristics. Huh? The Shaykh, he said, لَا تُثْنِي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِصِفَاتِكَ الْحَمِيدَةِ. Yani, you have praiseworthy characteristics? Naam, for real. You're very smart. You're very whatever. You have something good. Yani, whatever it might be. Your station, your status, your position, your knowledge, whatever it is. You have some praiseworthy characteristics. That other people might say, this person is such and such and so and so. Shaykh said, don't praise yourself with your praiseworthy characteristics. He didn't say, don't make up stuff about yourself that's praiseworthy. No, you have those characteristics. Don't praise yourself with your praiseworthy characteristics. Because some of us, we think, I'm really like that. I really do have wealth. I have knowledge. I have this, I have that. So what's wrong with me saying that? It's the truth. Shaykh said, do not praise yourself with your praiseworthy characteristics. إِلَّا حَيْثُ دَعَتْ الدُّرُورَ وَالْحَاجَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. Except in the case where necessity or need calls for that. There's a need or necessity for you to say something about yourself. That's different. Like the saying of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, وَلَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَحَدًا أَعْلَمْ مِنِّي بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ تُبَلِّغُهُ الْإِبْلُ لَرَكِبْتُ إِلَيْهِ. Yani, if I had known anyone who is more knowledgeable than me of the Book of Allah, and a camel could reach that person, I would have rode to him to get knowledge from him. That's how important knowledge is. If I knew somebody who knew about, more about this than me, I'm going to, if a camel can reach it, I'm going to get it. That's what he said. A person might say, what's this then? And the Sheikh said, except where there's a need or a necessity for you to say something about yourself. Then the Sheikh, he explains. Yani, by the way, this hadith came in Bukhari. And yani, just quickly, yani, the narration of the hadith in Bukhari came in the Kitab Fadail al-Qur'an, the virtues of Qur'an. That's what Bukhari brought it under the title in the book, the virtues of Qur'an, Bab al-Qurra min Ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qurra from the companions of the Prophet. Qurra, yani today what they call, yani the term that's used today, Hafiz, Huffaz. But that time they used to say Qurra, meaning the person who reads the Qur'an by memory, correctly, knowing its meanings, and acting upon it. That's why maybe we shouldn't call people Qurra today. Because that meaning, it doesn't just mean you know how to read Qur'an. It means the person has memorized the Qur'an, knows its meaning, and live by it, act upon it, understands its rulings, and live by it. So the Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he put this in the book, The Virtues of Qur'an, under the chapter, the Qurra, from amongst the companions of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he narrated the hadith of who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the hadith is a longer hadith, but yani for the sake of time, anyway you can go back yani and look for it yani easily in the Bab, Virtues of Quran, the chapter, the Qurra from the Ashab, yani the readers, the reciters of Quran from amongst companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what he said concerning that. After this, the Shaykh says, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَصَدَ بِذَلِكَ أَمْرَيْنَ. Yani, why was there a need for him to say this? Yani, saying something about his own self that would be considered indeed a praiseworthy characteristic, that he was most knowledgeable of the Qur'an. He knew every surah in the Qur'an, when it was revealed, what it was revealed in reference to, and so on, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did he say this? The Shaykh said, two matters. First, حَفَّ النَّاسِ عَلَى تَعَلَّمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. In order to encourage the people to learn the book of Allah the Most High. And he wanted people to understand that, honey, this is important. If I knew somebody somewhere who could teach me something about the Quran, I'm going to get on the camel and go to them wherever they are. That's how important. So the first purpose of him saying this was to remind them of the importance of the Quran, of learning the Quran. And the second reason, Shaykh said, دَعْوَتُهُمْ لِلتَّلَقِّ عَنْهُ. Yani, because he wants to call the people to receive this knowledge that, yani, he has received by the permission of Allah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, don't leave him just sitting there, and you don't benefit. But he's in calling people to take advantage of this. Some of us need to look at ourselves. A scholar came from wherever, any country he came from, and he probably from another country, right? Because we're here. If you get the point. And then we have no questions. There's something wrong with that. And how come you don't have any questions? And Abdul Mas'ud is sitting there and the people are not asking him about the Quran. He knows every surah, when it was revealed and what it was revealed in reference to. And they're not asking him. So he said, I'm calling the people. And I have this knowledge by the permission of Allah, not out of pride. But I'm telling you that, take advantage of this. So how does that apply to us? You figure it out. If a scholar comes, go. Naam. And benefit. And ask too. But go and benefit. Don't like take the matter lightly. When real scholars came to us, it's incumbent upon us to take advantage of this. Wallahu musta'an. So the human being who possesses praiseworthy characteristics. And you listen to what the Shaykh says here. I haven't heard this before. This is the first time I ever heard any statement like this. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he says, Rahimahullah, wal insan dhu as-sifat al-hamida la yadhunnu anna an-nas tukhfa alayhim khisaluhu abadan sawa'an dhakaraha lin-nas am lam yadhkurha. The person who possesses some praiseworthy characteristics should never think that the people are unaware of his praiseworthy characteristics. Don't imagine that you have to tell them that I am this and I am that. Shaykh is saying what? Don't think that you have praiseworthy characteristics and people are unaware of it. Such that what? You have to tell them. You have to boast about yourself. That's not necessary. Even if you mentioned it or you didn't mention it, Don't imagine that people will not know. Rather, the person who counts his praiseworthy characteristics, who enumerates to the people his praiseworthy characteristics in front of them, then he has fallen in the eyes of the people. The one who sits up in front of the people said, I'm this, I'm that, I did this, I did the other, I surpassed, excelled. Honey, that person, in the eyes of the people who are awake, who are alive, who understand anything about Islam, as far as the dead, they just suck it in. But the people who know better, you fell in their eyes by enumerating your praiseworthy characteristics, achievements, accomplishments. Like a brother who got in front of the people giving a lecture and he said, this is literally, I am his expertise, very, 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 all of that? I couldn't believe it. I said, will any scholar get in front of the people and say that to the people? That was enough for me. You fell on that moment. You fell. Whatever we might have thought of you, it's gone now. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. This is real life. This is what's going on. The Shaykh, he says, so be warned from this matter of praising yourself in front of the people, boasting about yourself. Wal-baghiyu. Yani the third expression that came, that the Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they warn against baghiyu, he said it means al-udwan, yani al-i'tida, transgressing against the people, against somebody else. Transgressing, violating another person. And its occurrences are in three places that have been made clear by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his saying, "Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa aradakum alaykum haram." Yani the three places where this occurs, the udwan, the baghiyu, it is where it's made clear by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith where he said, "Indeed, your blood and your wealth and your honor, alaykum haram, is forbidden." And some of the narrations said, "Bainakum haram." Yani it is forbidden to violate, to transgress against a person's blood, their wealth, or their honor. And the hadith in Bukhari said, just it is sacred, haramun, just as the sacredness of this day of yours, and this month of yours, and this land of yours. And let the one who is present convey it to the one who is absent until the end of the hadith. And in Sahih Muslim came similar wording as this. And the hadith came in Bukhari and Muslim. Indeed, your blood and your wealth and your honor is sacred. Naam. So, al-baghyu, yani al-i'tida, yani transgressing upon the created beings, bil-amwal, in terms of their wealth, transgressing against their wealth, violating their wealth, or their blood, or their honor. Yani al-baghyu, it means to transgress against a person in reference to their wealth, their, yani, blood, or their honor. Then the Shaykh explains each one of these three areas in reference to the wealth. It is like a person who claims ma laysa lahu, that which doesn't belong to him. And he claims this is mine, and it's not really. Or he denies yunkir ma kana alayhi. He denies what is upon him, yani what is obligatory. He owes somebody something, he borrowed something, he denies it. He denies, I don't have anything that belongs to you. You didn't give me anything. Or he takes ma laysa lahu. He just takes it. Yani bogart, roughing it off. Stick up kids. They stay in the old days. Huh? فَهَذَا بَغْيٌ عَلَى الْأَمْوَالِ. This is transgression in terms of a person's wealth. As far as their blood, it is killing or whatever is less than that. Yani that you transgress a person against a person by wounding them physically or killing them. Yani killing or less than that. In reference to their honor, their a'rad, their ird, yani the Shaykh says it has two possible meanings here. يَحْتَمِلْ أَنْ يُرَادْ بِهَا الْأَعْرَادْ يَعْنِي السُّمْعَى. Yani one of the possible meanings is that yani their honor, it means here their sum'a, their reputation, their good name. Person has a good reputation and somebody comes, Shaykh said, transgress against them بِالْغِيبَ, by backbiting, that yani smears their reputation, disfigures their reputation. They have a good reputation, somebody comes and lies on them, say, oh, so-and-so. And then people will look down at it. Oh, wow, like that? They had a good reputation, you spoil it. Naam, this is yani baghi, yani transgressing against a person's honor. The other possible meaning, he said, that it may mean zina and whatever is less than that. Yani transgressing a person, violating them by committing zina or less than that with their women. Yani zina. A person commit fornication or adultery with a person's wife or sister or daughter, mother. Naam. All of this is haram. Yani both of these meanings. Violating a person's good name, their reputation, or violating their women. All of this is haram. So the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah prohibit transgression over a person's wealth, person's blood, and a person's honor. وكذلك الاستطالة يعني being conceited. يعني considering yourself high above others. Looking down on other people. Showing disdain for others. يعني a person يعني thinking little of other people. These people are insignificant, unimportant. It means al-isti'ala alayhim bihaqqin aw bighayri haqqin. Yani rising yourself above the people rightfully or unrightfully. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, yani I'm reading now from Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he says this is prohibited li'anna al-mustatil in istatala bihaqqin faqad iftakhara. Because the person who does this, who raises himself up and looks down at other people, if he did it rightfully so, then it means that he has been yani proud and arrogant. It means that he has been proud. If he really is, yani he has more money than the other people, or he has more knowledge than the other people, or whatever, then this is pride. This is pride and arrogance. وَنِ اسْتَطَالَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ فَقَدْ بَغَى. But if he yani raises himself above the other people without any right, this means he has transgressed against them. Yani, so here, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he is comparing the istitala, yani, to going back to the beginning, the fakhru and the baghyu. Yani, if a person considers himself above other people, rightfully so, then this is fakhru. This is pride. And if he does it without a right to do so, then it's baghyu. Yani, transgression against the people. That's how Sheikh Salih Fawzan explained it. And he said, this is not permissible, neither this one or that one, rightfully or unrightfully so. So this, yani considering yourself above the other people, or better than the other people, looking down on other people, this is prohibited by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, no matter if a person does it, bihaqqin, with a right, or bighayri haqqin, without any right to do so. Wal isti'ala هو أن الإنسان يترفع على غيره. يعني it means that a person considers themselves to be higher and better than others. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says حقيقة الأمر أن من شكر نعمة الله عليك أن الله إذا من عليك بفضل على غيرك من مال أو جاه أو سيادة أو علم أو غير ذلك فإنه ينبغي أن تزداد تواضعا حتى تضيف إلى الحسن حسنا أو حسنا. يعني the reality of the affairs, يعني in reference to a person who considers himself better than others, looks down on other people, shows disdain for other people, rightfully so, the Shaykh is responding to that. That even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a person some excellence or virtue due to wealth or status or authority or knowledge or other than that, the reality of the matter is that from your gratitude for the favor of Allah upon you, yani the favor that Allah has given to you, it is incumbent that this should increase a person in humility, not in pride and arrogance. Yani part of the shukra for the ni'mah of Allah is not that you raise yourself up above other people, rather that it humbles you. That's what is required, so that you add goodness to goodness, meaning Allah has given you a favor, and now you increase that favor by what? By being humble with it. Because that's what is pleasing to Allah. Yani because the one, لِأَنَّ الَّذِي يَتَوَاضَعْ فِي مَوْضِعَ الرِّفْعَ وَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ هُوَ الْمُتَوَاضِعْ حَقِيقَةً. Yani مَوْضِعَ الرِّفْعَ doesn't mean a lofty subject. Yani this is not مَوْضُوع, it's مَوْضِعَ, the place. In the position or the place or the situation, I'm alluding to the translation here. That's a mistake. Yani, mawdi' rifa means when a person is in the position or in the situation where they are entitled to be yani raised up. Yani, they do have a high status due to their wealth or their position or their authority or their knowledge or whatever. Then the Shaykh is saying The person who is humble in that position is true humility. Yani the person who has more knowledge than other people and they humble themselves, this is real humility. The person who has a lot of wealth more than the rest of the people and they humble themselves in spite of that, that's true humility. That's what the Shaykh is saying here. And finally, yani the Shaykh, he says here, yani the person who is humble in the position, in the place where yani they have a right to be recognized for whatever they have of wealth or knowledge or status or authority, the person who humbles themselves in that position is the one who is truly humble. وَمَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ بِحَقٍ يعني that the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah prohibit يعني الاستطالة على الخلق بحق أو بغير حق, that the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah prohibit themselves and others from conceitedness, arrogance, looking down, showing disdain for other people, whether with a right or without a right, yani rightfully or unrightfully. The meaning of bihaqqin, the Shaykh says there are two meanings, two possible meanings. Bihaqqin A, hatta law kana lahu al-haq fi bayan annahu 'alin mutarafu'un. Yani, even if the person, lahu al-haq, he has the right to clarify that he does have a high status, that he is raised up above the rest of the people due to something that he has, that Allah has given to him. And even though he has a right to that, فَإِنَّ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ يَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْإِسْتِعْلَاءِ وَتَرَفُّعِ. And he still, in that case, أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ prohibit a person from يعني, looking down on other people, showing disdain for other people, considering themselves to be better than other people. Even if you have a right, yani meaning that you have something that from the worldly perspective, material perspective, people say he's above others. Even if that's the situation, you do not have a right to display that. But rather you should be humble. And there's a hadith, I'm trying to think of the hadith. وَمَا تَوَضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned three things that are contrary to the reality of what people think. And one of them was, and whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise him up. Yani people think if you humble yourself, don't be humble, the people are going to take advantage of you. Whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise them up. Huh? Now, that's one of the three. So this is one meaning. The Shaykh said, even if a person has a right, yani that would justify in the eyes of the people that they are raised up, high status, nonetheless, still, Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah prohibit people from yani showing disdain, disregard, disrespect for other people. The second meaning, he said, أَوْ يُقَالْ إِنَّ مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ. Or it may be said that the meaning of this saying, yani بِحَقٍ الاستطالة بحق, the meaning of this is أن يكون أصل استطالته حقا بأن يكون قد اعتدى عليه إنسان فيعتدي عليه أكثر. يعني the other meaning, possible meaning of this is that a person يعني raises themselves up and looks down on other people with a right, it may mean that the origin or the foundation of them doing so is based on a right. They had a right to do it because somebody has transgressed against them, yani has looked down upon them, shown disdain for them, so then they did it back to them, more than yani the way the other person came with it. Yani the person looked down on you, then you yani rose up above them and showed disdain for them. The Shaykh said this is also a possible meaning. يعني يكون أصل استطالته حقا بأن يكون قد اعتدى عليه إنسان, somebody transgressed against him by this characteristic of looking down on you. So then that person in response to that returned in like, أكثر, but more. And the Shaykh says, فأهل السنة والجماعة رحمه الله ينحون عن الاستطالة والاستعلاء على الخلق سواء كان ذلك بحق أو بغير حق. Nonetheless, the people of Sunnah والجماعة, يعني the scholars, أهل السنة والجماعة رحمه الله, may Allah have mercy upon them, they prohibit the people of this disdain, looking down on other people, no matter with a right or without a right. And with a right, meaning that a person has something that justifies them being considered above other people, still we don't allow it. Or somebody has done that to you and you returned it to them, nonetheless, it's prohibited. And some of us say, I'm just giving back what they gave. And they did this, I'm returning it. That's not Islam. And they killed our innocent people, so we killed the innocent people. That's not Islam. That's not Islam. That's not our deen of Allah. We don't act like the other people. When they do what's displeasing to Allah, we don't follow them. We do what's pleasing to Allah, no matter what they did. We don't react to the other people and then justify our behavior by their behavior. They are not our leaders or our examples. They are not our guides. Rather, we have guidance. Naam. And I'll just mention this last point. وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِمَعَالِي الْأَخْلَاقِ. This is very, very brief. وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنْ سَفَاسِفِهَا or سَفْسَافِهَا. Both of these words mean the same meaning. Yani in Shaykh Uthaymeen's book, it came سَفَاسِفِهَا. And in Shaykh Salih Fawzan's text of his book, it came سَفْسَافِهَا. And Allahu A'lam, both of them have the same meaning. The meaning يَعْمُرُونَ بِمَعَالِي الْأَخْلَاقِ, that the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah command the people to have high, exalted, good character, characteristics, lofty, noble characteristics. And they prohibit them from the lowly, despicable characteristics, the opposite of the first. The lowly characteristics, which are the opposite of the noble, exalted, lofty characteristics that the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah commend themselves and others with. And the Shaykh, he says, and we close with this, the meaning of ma'ali al-akhlaq, al-akhlaq al-ali, al-hasana, the meaning of it is, ma kana aliyan minha, that which is lofty, exalted, sublime of the characteristics, like sidq, truthfulness, wal-afaf, abstaining from the people and what they have and begging from them, wa ada al-amana, and fulfilling the trust when you're entrusted with something. And whatever is similar to that. And the meaning of safsafiha, the despicable, lowly characteristics, he said, radi'uha, that which is low. Like kadhib, lying, and khiyana, violation of trust, and fawahish, filthy, despicable, immoral behavior, and whatever is like that. And we're going to stop here. We're going to stop here, which means that the 11th question, we'll save it for next week. The question I study guys, 11 questions, it should be up to 10. What came in the 11th question, we'll do it next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And it's a very important point. Please pay attention to the final point that we're going to take next week. The Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, كل ما يقولونه, everything that the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah are saying, ويفعلونه, and doing, من هذا وغيره, from this which has been mentioned and other than it, فإنما هم في متبعون للكتاب والسنة, then the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, in all these things that they are saying and doing, they are strictly adhering to the book and the sunnah in doing so. And their tariqah is the deen of Islam that Allah has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or missioned him with. And we're going to next week take this final point bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And if there's a question about something that we mentioned tonight that's not clear, and he would take a question inshallah about something that we left unclear. Naam. Something that's not clear. Naam.
Replying to people.
Replying to people.
Yeah, so with regards to when they take